I feel bad interrupting the great Anita Baker, but we know this is the intro music for the one and only, the talented, the incredible Mr. Jim Wyatt, who joins us now. Jim, good morning. This is for you.
Hey, I appreciate the Anita Baker bringing that in, bringing it back to my days when I was college Casanova playing a little Anita Baker.
I will tell you that our esteemed producer, Dr. Crane, is also a proud Father Ryan graduate, so there you go.
But that's good stuff. Well, it's good to see Father Ryan represented here on 102.5 The Game today.
It is. Jim, now, first of all, before we get into anything, I know the passing of Chris Mortensen this weekend. I know you've covered the NFL for a long time. You've dealt with Chris in a lot of ways. Just what a terrible loss for his family, but for NFL, because he's one of the true, Jim, I think, insiders that really started that term insider back in the day.
Yeah, that's the truth. Him and John Clayton, and now both of them are gone. It's really sad. I saw a post last night that just showed, you know, I guess it was Stuart Scott, John Sanders, and John Clayton, Morton Anderson, you know, four guys that we kind of grew up watching on ESPN, and now all of them gone too soon. And Chris Mortensen was a really nice guy on top of everything else. He was, you know, back when I was at the Tennessean, you know, I was – ultra competitive and get kind of consumed with the job and tried to break any story I could on the beat. And I was competing with guys like Chris Mortensen back then, and he got me on some but then there were some I got him on, and he always was very nice to me and had some nice things to say when he'd see me. His son, Alex, I don't know if you remember, played for the Titans.
Yeah.
He was with them during the preseason one year, and it was a year that they were in the Hall of Fame game up in Canton, Ohio. And I'll never forget seeing Chris Mortensen in the press box that day because his son was going to play in the game, and he was such a proud, proud father and so proud of his son. But he was just always very approachable, always just a gentleman. And I think he did it in a classy way. I mean, there are people in this business who are trying to get attention and have different ways of doing it. He was never like that. He just delivered the news, was a classy guy, and certainly had a big impact on a lot of people.
Amen to that. Talking to Jim Wyatt this morning. Jim, before we get into the combine, and you've talked to these draft, you know, hopefully draft choices, everything that goes on there, we had Rand Carthon on the show last week, and we asked, hey, how much do you get asked about Derrick Henry? He says, I get that more than I get, hey, good morning to you. So it's all the talk. I'm reading your mailbag, people talking about it. I mean, can you recall something like this with Derrick Henry where, you know, the fans would love to have him back, but we understand that it is a business. Things happen. Guys move on. But I got to think you were getting just kind of inundated with this question about Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I am. I mean, because he's probably one of the most popular guys. No question, he's one of the most popular guys that's ever played for this franchise, and just beloved by the fans, and you know, just the way he's handled himself as a player, but also in the community. You know, he's been great for me dealing with him over the years, and now here the team is a little bit of a crossroads, and same with Derrick. I mean, he's now you know, contract's up, 30 years old. We all know, you know, what the lifespan is of running backs in the NFL. He's certainly shown that he still can get the job done, but you've got a new coach and a new offense that is not going to run the ball like it has in years past. There's going to be a new identity. So does that fit? I mean, do these two sides fit anymore? And I, when I'm asked about Derrick and what I think will happen, I always point to what I think he thinks is going to happen, because he wouldn't have handled himself like he did the last game of the year against Jacksonville at Nissan Stadium, kind of grabbing the mic and saying goodbye and thanking the fans, and then kind of having a 2-minute speech afterward where he thanked everyone. I think he thinks that his time is up, and it's sad in a lot of ways, but that's the NFL, and I always will wish him the best and remember him as one of the best players in this franchise's history. And I'm not saying that's officially done yet, but I've you know, just been around long enough to kind of get a feel on these things. And again, I think that's the feel Derrick has.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, what a consummate pro since the day he arrived here back in 2016. Talking to Jim White. Jim, I love every Monday you put on your mailbag the mock drafts that go on. And, you know, it's usually, you know, we look at a lot of the guys overwhelming Joe Alt, Malik Nabers. I mean, these are some choices. It's, you know, it's you don't want to be in the position every year at number seven to pick a player like that, obviously. But, you know, we go back and forth on the show. It's almost 50-50, Jim, about a left tackle, wide receiver. Whoever the left tackle is, whoever the wide receiver is, you know, it's a 50-50 question on that. And I got to think as well, you're getting asked all the time, Jim, what do you think, left tackle or wide receiver? And the question's just going to keep on coming until draft day, I think.
Yeah, and I always – and it's people might think it's a cop-out, but it's the truth. Like, it's hard to say what they're going to do in the draft until you've gone through free agency. I mean, what happens if the Titans make a move and go out and get a receiver somehow between now and the draft? Or what happens if they're able to land a guy who you would project as a starting left tackle? Then your needs change a little bit, and maybe the way you look at things change. And that's why these mock drafts, yeah, it's fun. People love to look at them, but they're silly in February and March because, because you know, again, once free agency happens, teams across the league are going to go out and start filling some of these needs. And then what people have projected going to those teams now is not going to be the same in April. So I think we'll see what plays out. I mean, I think the Titans are fortunate in that this year's draft is loaded at left tackle and receiver, which two of these teams' biggest needs. And now the question is what they do between now and then. You know, who's still left on the board when they pick? Best case scenario again is these quarterbacks all go early, and then you've really got your pick of the litter. And then you got to consider, you know, if it is such a good draft and so deep at both those spots, do you consider trading out of seven, drop back a little bit? You're still going to be able to get a really good player, and you could get a good pick, and then you could really start to load up. So a lot of things to consider.
Somebody want me to ask you this. Is because Caleb Williams is perceived to go one or two, do the Titans waste any time in draft research doing their due diligence on a Caleb Williams when you know he's going to go the first one or two? And I never thought about it. That's an interesting question because you don't think he's going to be there at seven, but you got to do just a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think so. But even listening to him, and he was pretty clear there. And you said Caleb Williams. I'll just kind of speak specifically about him. But, you know, he made it pretty clear that he's not going to waste his time with a lot of teams that are really not QB needy. So I don't know if that's going to show up in his pre-draft visits or whether that's shown up a lot in Indy with the conversations that he had. I think you always do your due diligence on players. Yeah, you're not going to bring them to town for one of your visits, but I think it's always good to talk to players because I'll pull away from him now. You know, the reason you talk to some of these guys, even if it's not necessarily a need or even though you might pick them, is just because you don't know what's going to happen down the road.
Right.
So it's good to know the player and good to know background on them, good to kind of get thoughts from them. I can't imagine, you know, they took Caleb Williams to try to take him out to dinner at St. Elmo's over the weekend.
Right.
But certainly somebody with the team will have some kind of contact with most everybody in this draft. And that's kind of the funny thing about the combine and what drives you crazy about covering it is anytime these guys have a media availability, the questions are, have you met with the Cowboys? Have you met with the Bengals? Have you met with the Chiefs? Have you met with the Raiders? Like, that's the different question. And the answer is usually yes, because between now and the draft, most of these guys have talked to every team just because they're at their pro day, their college seasons, practices, or at the combine, or at the senior bowl. It's just an exhausting process where everybody gets contacted.
I bet it is, including for somebody who's got to cover all that, including yourself. You spoke to Joe Alt, I reckon, and how was that? I mean, I know you can't, you know, say how are you going to, you know, play out in the next 5 to 7 years, but his thoughts on coming here and maybe getting drafted by the Titans?
Well, I mean, he's it's funny. He wrapped up and I thought that's Peter Skoronski. I mean, he's got the same just kind of, you know, personality. He's got the same NFL background where it's in his family. He's got the same good reputation coming out. And I think he'd be a really good pick at number seven. You know, he's electrical engineer major. Talked to some of the guys at Notre Dame that covered him. Said he really only never really got beat his whole college career, except for a time where he got his foot stepped on and he fell down, and then he kind of kidded about that. I mean, he's a clean prospect, really good player, but you know. Is he the pick? I don't know. I thought it was interesting. And then, again, there's so many smoke screens, and it's hard to read into what people are saying sometimes. But, you know, Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon, both at the combine, you know, and Callahan is the one that said it. But he said, hey, if it's all things are equal, you know, I want guys who can score touchdowns, when he was talking about the linemen and the receivers. So that was a little nugget that people jumped at and thought, Is it Alt, or is it one of these receivers, or Fashanu, another big guy from Penn State, pretty attractive too?
Yeah, oh, exactly. I want to get a few more minutes with Jim White here this morning on the Chasing Big Joe show. You've covered that combine. You know, I've been up there with you doing that. I always go back to, you know, you always have those combine heroes, that the guys that stand out and you fall in love with. I always go back to the 2007 with Chris Henry, Jim, when the combine, you know, I mean, just this Adonis, this Greek god and everything, and was just an awful player for the Titans. My question is, have the coaches and kind of GMs learned from mistakes like that in the past? Like, look, you're great at the combine, but we need to see what your tape was during the regular season when you played college football.
Yeah, that's the way I think of it. And, you know, when you start on this, you're going to say Chris Johnson, because he, because of his fast 4.24 time. And
right.
Chris Henry is also one of those guys that people fall in love with because of their times and didn't have a great track record. I think he went to Arizona, if I remember correctly. And he just didn't have, I mean, his stats weren't great. And this wasn't very productive. And he got to Tennessee, and you look at him, he looks like a physical specimen, but he just didn't have a great knack for running, running the football. I mean, I think somebody nicknamed him Cockroach because he ran the darkness, I think is what, which is kind of unfair to bring that up all these years later, but he just didn't have the instincts to be a real productive player. So, Xavier Worthy, at Texas, ran a 4.21 over the weekend.
Right.
And certainly it helped his draft stock. But then when I looked at the list of the fastest 40 times at the combine, there's not a lot, weren't necessarily Hall of Famers on that list, which means you can't fall in love with the guy just because of his 40 times. So it's always the most important thing to me is what the guy did in college. I'm not a scout, but, you know, you got to be careful not to fall in love with the guy just because he jumps high or he runs fast or he does the three cone drill.
Right.
It's all about what happens on the field. You got to factor some of that other stuff in, but it's all part of the puzzle.
It is. You know, it's funny, in 2008 when they took Chris Johnson, I remember when I was at Channel 2 and with Corey Curtis, and we were like, we had all these players ready for the videotape when they draft and they go on the news, and we didn't have Chris Johnson in our file. I mean, it was one of those things where he goes to the combine, he shows out, they interview him, they love him. You saw what he did here. But I don't, Chris Johnson was one guy that I don't think anybody had him going to the Titans in 2008.
Yeah, I will say this. I do remember Frank Wycheck having Chris Johnson going to the Titans in 2008.
Nice.
And I give him props for that. That was 2008, wasn't it? I guess all these years mixed up.
Right.
And I will say this. You do enough mock drafts, you're going to get lucky on one. And I actually did a mock draft with a Jacksonville radio station leading up to that draft. And I gave Chris Johnson to the Titans in that draft as well. And they always remind me, what a great pick that was. I didn't tell them that. I'd probably done three or four and given other players to the Titans and those. But I just in Jacksonville – They thought I was had great knowledge because I nailed the Chris Johnson pick.
Yeah, just throwing the name out there to get off the radio and do that. Jim, as always, thank you. Tell your wonderful father we said hello. We're thinking about him. And, Jim, we always appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Appreciate you having me on. Good talking to you.
Yes, sir. Jim White, TitansOnline.com. Go read all the stuff there.